everyone. Thank you for listening to this episode. I have a couple of very special guests with me today. I have Diana and Jose from Reversing Type 2 Diabetes. Jose, you and I have done a couple of things together in the past. We did an Instagram live on your Instagram, and I guess on mine too. It was my first Instagram live with somebody. So that was really fun. We're doing another one this week, which will already be done by the time the people are hearing
it. But that was very, very fun. And by the way, Molly, thank you so much for inviting us to your podcast. I'm super excited to, you know, talk about plant-based diets, type 2 diabetes, anything that comes along the way. So thank you for having us today.
Yeah, you're most welcome. So I know a lot of the people in our community, I mean, this is very relevant, right? Because there's so many people in our community who maybe don't have type 2 diabetes yet, or maybe they do, or maybe they're like kind of on the verge of that and they don't want to get there. So this is a really relevant topic to our audience. And I know a lot of people are going to really enjoy it. So thank you for making the time to talk with me. And I just want to get in. So your website is Reversing Type 2 Diabetes. Like, you can't get much more, like, you know, it all says it in the name right there. Yep. So yeah. I guess what I want to start with is just some really basic things, right? So for somebody who is diagnosed with either pre-diabetes or type 2 diabetes, the most common path, I would assume, is that they talk with their doctor, they go on a diabetes-specific diet, and they start taking drugs to help them manage their diabetes. So I would love to know your approach and what you guys offer.
Diana, do you want to go for it?
Sure. I mean, sometimes patients don't even get any information about diet when they're visiting their doctor. A lot of the times it's just medication, and that's a huge problem. So I'm a registered dietitian, and I've worked in those settings where I work alongside physicians who are prescribing those medications, and a lot of the times they would leave that lifestyle medicine up to the dietitian. And that's just in some cases. Most cases, they don't even refer out to dietitians. And many people don't realize how much, and doctors included, how much nutrition and exercise plays a role in not only the development of type 2 diabetes, but also in managing it, preventing complications, and even reversing the root cause of it, which is insulin resistance. So that is where Jose and I we joined forces to create Reversing T2D, type 2 diabetes, to focus more on that lifestyle approach. We wanted to give people an opportunity to really focus on making those lifestyle changes so that they didn't have to be on medications for the rest of their life or have their medications increased every time they saw a doctor. So we really focus on plant-based nutrition. We promote high fiber, low saturated fat diet, which is found in plant-based foods. And we've seen our clients, our members, have such great success with this dietary pattern. And people, you know, who may not want to go fully plant-based, we've worked on quite a spectrum. We have patients who want to go fully plant-based and they see incredible results. I mean, we've had patients be on tons of diabetes medications, cholesterol medications, high blood pressure medications, and be able to get off of all of them. And not only that, but reach a healthy weight, get their blood sugar numbers into the non-diabetic range, cholesterol levels into healthy range, et cetera. But we also work with people who may not want to go fully plant-based and just want to incorporate some plant-based meals into their diet. And that's what, you know, we're willing to work with people, meet them where they're at. And even those people, just by making those simple changes to their diet, also see incredible changes in their blood sugar numbers.
Yeah. Just to add on what Diana said, right out of school, I also was exposed to the medical field. And, you know, graduating as an exercise physiologist, I had to get some internships in the medical field to get exposure to all of these conditions. And the way that I found out about a plant-based whole food diet is through this internship that I had with two lifestyle medicine doctors. And for those of you that don't know, lifestyle medicine is a real branch of medicine, which basically teaches doctors to teach their patients how to follow a more plant-based whole food lifestyle to reverse and prevent conditions like type 2 diabetes, high cholesterol, fatty liver, high blood pressure, and so on. So it's during my time in this practice that I saw two main groups of patients. The patients that, you know, would get diagnosed with type 2 diabetes and would follow the advice of the doctor to be on a plant-based diet, and the other group of patients who would get diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, but unfortunately they wouldn't follow these recommendations of being on a plant-based whole food approach. Not because they didn't want to, but maybe there was, they just didn't have the guidance and the resources to actually like follow through with the plan. But what happens is that 3 months later, after being on a plant-based whole food diet, you have to come back to the doctor to get your A1C rechecked and so on, right? So the group of patients that would be on a plant-based diet would come back, everything would be normal, back to normal, you know, A1C back to normal, cholesterol back to normal, high blood pressure back to normal levels. And those patients who didn't follow the approach would come back to the doctor's office, they would get everything retested, and their A1C would be the same or higher, cholesterol the same or higher. And it's at that point that the doctors didn't have any other choice and put them on medications. But at least I was glad to see that these doctors, their first line of defense against type 2 diabetes was a plant-based whole food diet. And that is what basically inspired me to, I forgot to mention this part, but I was actually pre-med. And this inspired me to not go through the medical field and actually go through the more lifestyle field of lifestyle change and actually teach people how to change their lifestyles in order to prevent and reverse these conditions. And through Instagram and social media, the wonders of social media nowadays, that is how I met Diana, who was basically doing the same thing. And that is basically when we joined forces, and that's what Diana talked about. She's a dietitian, I am an exercise physiologist, and that is the kind of knowledge that you need in order to teach somebody how to reverse a condition like type 2 diabetes. That is how everything started. Our program started, and we have helped over 1,000 people reverse this condition by now. Oh, I think I lost you, Molly. I don't know if you can.
No, I was muted, so you couldn't hear the pesky lawnmower outside. So my next question was kind of how you both got into this, right? So Jose, what medical establishment were you at, or what can you mention, like where you were at and you kind of saw lifestyle medicine in action? Because a lot of medical establishments don't offer that, or you wouldn't be exposed to that in some places.
Yeah. So it was a family medicine practice with two general medicine physicians. It is usually the type of establishment that people find out that they have type 2 diabetes. Usually you go to your general physician, to your family medicine doctor, to get yearly physicals. And that is when people find out that they have these conditions for the very first time. This is something that I didn't mention at the beginning, but the large majority of Americans, not the large majority, right by now I think it's 1/3 of Americans are living with insulin resistance and they don't know that they have it. So when they turn 40, 45, 50 years of age and then go to the doctor and they get their A1C checked and their cholesterol levels checked for the very first time in years, they find out that they have insulin resistance. Mm. So it was at this practice that I got exposed to the doctors prescribing lifestyle change to a more plant-based whole food diet to reverse these conditions.
Okay. And how about you, Diana? How were you first kind of exposed to this, to lifestyle medicine and the knowledge that there might be another way?
Yeah. So first, type 2 diabetes runs in my family. So I've seen many of my family members struggle with this condition. So when I was studying to become a dietitian, I knew that I wanted to specialize in this specific field. And throughout my studies, I had the opportunity and through my training to focus on some plant-based nutrition, especially in terms of giving that in a medical nutrition therapy setting. And so, yeah, I was exposed to it. And the more I learned about it, the more I couldn't stop learning about it. I just kept digging into the research, and then I would apply it to my patients, to my clients. I had started a private practice, and you know, they saw tremendous results. So, you know, when you see your patients succeeding and having such great results, you just, you just want to keep spreading the word, right? And then I haven't always been plant-based, but I started, when I was learning more about it, I started gravitating towards that dietary pattern. And I just saw tremendous changes within myself. I had more energy. I felt better because diabetes runs in my family. And I saw how strong the research was. I decided to use this as a tool, a preventative tool for myself. And I've been able to have successfully like very healthy glucose levels, cholesterol levels. Yeah. And so I think when you see not only reading about it in the research, but seeing the actual results with your clients and members, and now at a greater scale, Hasanay gets to do it with much more people, which is amazing. But you just see those results, and it really is motivating to keep practicing it and preaching it and helping people.
Yeah. Yeah, just to add on to what Diana said real quick, now with our Instagram platform and TikTok platform combined, I think we have close to 500,000 followers. So the amount of messages that we get from people telling us, you have helped me like save my life with your information, or you have helped me get off medications, and my doctor told me that I had to be on medications forever. Those messages are so rewarding that you wake up the next day wanting to put more information out there to help more and more people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. That's kind of the difference between somebody doing, well, and this is more like marketing, but somebody, you know, creating a career for themselves online because they're really passionate and want to help versus because they want to, you know, work in their pajamas or something. So you do, I mean, I understand that we get a lot of, not to the extent that you do, because we're not specifically, you know, helping people with type 2 diabetes, but this food does help. So it's, you know, in a sense, we do. So, okay. So Jose, you mentioned that most people or a lot of people are insulin resistant and they don't know that they're insulin resistant. So for somebody who's like, oh, maybe I am, you know, what are some of the signs that you might be insulin resistant and you don't know it?
Yeah. So insulin resistant is what I would say a silent killer, okay? It is a silent killer until it's almost too late, you know, until you start actually having symptoms of hyperglycemia or symptoms of high cholesterol. Hyperglycemia, by the way, is high blood glucose. So that is a reason why people don't know that they have it. And there might be a point in their lives where their energy levels just drop too low, or their mental fog is just interfering with their day to day, or they notice that the sweet cravings are just through the roof. They notice that they have aches and pains all over. And that is when they decide to go to the doctor to get formally tested to see what's going on. And that is when, you know, the blood glucose results don't lie. The blood glucose is elevated, cholesterol is elevated, in some cases, blood pressure is elevated, fatty liver. And the reason why I mentioned these conditions is because insulin resistance is the driving force behind all of these conditions. It's the root cause of hyperglycemia, of high cholesterol, of fatty liver, and so on. And when people focus on reversing this root cause, they don't only improve their blood glucose, but then they improve all those other conditions. So back to your question, what are some symptoms that people may experience that could be telltale signs of insulin resistance being present? I would say they are the symptoms of hyperglycemia, which is frequent urination, extreme thirst, extreme hunger, cravings for sweets, and lethargy, being extremely tired. Would you agree, Diana?
Yeah, definitely. And I would say that, you know, speaking of diabetes specifically, like I think it's about 37 million Americans have diabetes, but then 1 in 5 don't know it. So like Jose said, it's really a silent disease. Like it really starts off without any symptoms. And that's kind of one of the big problems with it, is because it's not detected until you already have type 2 diabetes. So people don't really get screened. Like the guidelines are, you don't have to get screened until you're 45, which I think they actually did just change it they released a new statement changing the guidelines to 35, which is way better. And I think that was pretty recent. But at 45, you know, if you're screening for something that is so common now, I mean, 1 in 3 Americans have pre-diabetes or type 2, which is a third of the population. So unfortunately, it doesn't have a lot of symptoms in the beginning. So that's why it is very important to maintain a healthy lifestyle so that you don't get to the point where it's, instead of preventative, it's now trying to manage diabetes or trying to overcome this illness.
And here is a crazy thing about insulin resistance, which makes it even more of a silent killer here, is that the symptoms are of insulin resistance are high blood glucose and high cholesterol and so on. But like Diana said, those are not expressed in your body until it's almost too late, until you have had insulin resistance for multiple years. So, and unfortunately, in today's medical practice, we don't test for insulin levels. It's not on your yearly screening. They usually just test for fasting blood glucose and for your A1C. Fasting blood glucose is basically your blood glucose in the mornings, and your A1C is an average of your blood glucose over the past 3 months. But if it's out of range in the pre-diabetes range or in the type 2 diabetes range, it means that you have had already insulin resistance for multiple years. So what is that thing that we should actually be testing, which is the first thing that goes out of range when you have insulin resistance, is insulin levels. And it's the one thing that we're not testing in yearly physicals. So we are practicing more of like not preventative care. We're not being proactive about reversing insulin resistance when it's starting to first develop in the body. So just to get a little bit into the physiology of this, when you have insulin resistance, your body has to compensate by secreting higher levels of insulin in order to keep your blood glucose in check, right? And type 2 diabetes happens when your body, your pancreas, cannot produce enough insulin to keep those blood glucose levels in check. So blood glucose starts rising. But again, what happened first? The increase in insulin. So that is why, in my opinion, we should be testing for insulin levels in yearly physicals. But that's a conversation for for another time. And, you know, medical policy is something different here.
Is that, and just out of curiosity, because I don't know, is that something that you can request that your doctor do?
You can, but in yearly physicals, it might be out of, since everything is ruled by insurance companies nowadays, insurance might not think that this is something medically necessary. So you might have to pay out of pocket for this.
But you can always pay out of pocket, right? So I know Quest Diagnostics allow consumers to now like go onto their website and purchase labs, and then you go to any Quest Diagnostics. So at least, you know, if your insurance won't cover it and you really want to know, you can at least have that option.
Right. Okay. That's helpful to know. So, okay. So I want to understand why eating a whole food plant-based dietary pattern, as you said, Diana, why is it so effective? Like, can you get into like the nuts and bolts of this? Like, why is this so effective?
Oof, there's so many reasons, but yes. All right. What should we start with? We can start with fiber. Let's start. I feel like that's always a good one to start with. So let's backtrack a little bit. So one of the main causes of insulin resistance, and therefore pre-diabetes and type 2 diabetes, is something that's very strongly linked to it is excess body weight, especially when that excess body weight, excess adiposity fat, is located in the abdominal area, so like visceral area. That is strongly linked to insulin resistance. So when you reduce your calories or you enter a calorie deficit and you lose weight, then you can start reversing, tackling that insulin resistance. I'll let Jose go into the more of the physiological part and like the fatty droplets. He loves doing that. But I'll just give you like an overarching view of why this diet works so well. So Different diets can work, right, for this to lose weight, right? You can, people like to do low carb, some people like to do Mediterranean diet, some people really love 100% plant-based diet. And it works so well because it's so full of fiber and so much lower in fat than most diets. And therefore, you're able to eat so much more. You're able to experience really great satiety for long periods of time. And you're not always looking for more foods. Like for low carb, we don't find that it works that well because people, it's restrictive, right? Like you're restricting a whole food group, a macronutrient, and people tend to lose a lot of weight at first and then rebound, or yo-yo dieting, we don't find it a very sustainable diet. Whereas a plant-based dietary pattern tends to be one that people can stick with. And that's a big part of weight loss and weight management, is a diet that you can stick with in the long run, or not, I don't like to use the word diet, but a dietary pattern, right? And so again, I think a lot of that is attributed to the high fiber content in a plant-based diet. So fiber is only found in plant-based foods. You cannot find fiber in animal-based foods. So by consuming so many of these plant-based foods, you're eating tons of fiber. And fiber, this nutrient that most Americans do not get enough of, is one of the most important nutrients for our health, because it studies show that it helps us maintain a healthy body weight. It helps keeps us satiated, so it fills us up quickly and it keeps us full for longer. It helps to improve blood sugar levels, not only in the short run, but also in the long run. So fiber, real quick, it's not digested in our body. So it just kind of goes through our gastrointestinal tract until it's fermented by our gut bacteria. So it slows down the absorption of food into our bloodstream. So therefore, doesn't really have as much of an impact on our blood sugar short term. Then it also feeds our gut microbiome, so it helps maintain a very healthy gut flora, which is also related to healthy glucose metabolism and insulin production. And what else does fiber do? Oh, it helps maintain healthy cholesterol levels. So just another thing that it does. So there's just so many great benefits to fiber. And once again, the majority of Americans, and I'm talking about like over 90% of Americans, aren't eating the recommended amount of fiber. And just by switching to a more plant-focused or plant-predominant diet, you can easily start increasing your fiber intake and reap all those amazing benefits. So then, Jose, I'll let you talk about saturated fat.
But before we move on, hold on one sec. I have a couple questions that kind of popped up as you were talking before we switch over. So my first question is, how much fiber should we be eating in a day?
So a minimum 25 grams for women and 38 grams for men. And that's a minimum. Those are the guidelines, but on a plant-based diet, you're usually eating a lot more. So, and if you're not used to eating a ton of fiber, you do probably want to start slow, because remember, our gut bacteria is what ferments it. And if your gut bacteria is not used to eating fiber, you could experience some flatulence of eating, especially when it comes to beans, which is a high fiber food. But the important thing is increase your dosage slowly of fiber and make sure you're staying hydrated, drinking lots of water with your fiber.
Okay. So if somebody's just starting out, like coming off from a standard American diet, and they're like, okay, I really want to increase my fiber, is there a recommendation of, okay, maybe they don't shoot for 25 grams a day. Maybe it's more like half of that in the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great to help place with to their, start.
Would help their body kind of adjust.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. Now the other question I had was, is fiber considered a nutrient?
So fiber is a type of carbohydrate. It's a form of carbohydrate. Okay. It's an indigestible carbohydrate, meaning our bodies can't digest it.
Okay. So when we eat low carb diets, we don't get the fiber then as much. Fiber.
Exactly. But although a lot of like keto, low carb, what they do is they focus on net carbs. So what they'll do is take the total carbohydrates, subtract the fiber, because technically they're not digesting or absorbing those carbs. And then that's their new grams of carbs for the day. So you may see that a lot.
Okay. So that's what that net carb is. They take the total amount of carbs minus out the fiber. I'm sure there's lots of apps that do that for people, but it seems complicated.
Yeah, I mean, it is complicated. It's not a way to live. Like, I wouldn't want to be calculating my like that all the time, and so obsessive about carbs, you know?
Yeah. So, okay, I have some more questions, but I want to see, Jose, what you have to say next, because you all are both really good at answering my questions before I have them. So go for it.
Okay. So I'm going to keep it simple. So when people ask me why a plant-based whole food diet for the reversal of type 2 diabetes, I tell them, first, you have to ask yourself, what is causing insulin resistance? What am I eating that is leading to the development of insulin resistance? And what years and years of research have shown is that an overconsumption of saturated fats paired up with refined carbohydrates is what leads to the development of insulin resistance at a cellular level. This overconsumption of those two nutrients
is saturated fat and refined carbohydrates.
And refined carbohydrates, which, by the way, is what the standard American diet is composed of. Now, when you're over consuming calories from those two sources, you start accumulating tiny fat deposits in places that are not meant to store fat, right? Like your muscles. And these fat deposits are called intramyocellular lipids, and they disrupt insulin signaling at a cellular level. And for those of you that don't know, insulin is that hormone that your pancreas releases that basically acts like a key that opens the door of the cell for glucose to go in. Now, you can just imagine what happens if that key is faulty, if that key is not working, if that insulin has this disrupted mechanism, then the door never opens, then glucose never goes into the cell, and it cannot be used as energy. So what happens when glucose doesn't go into the cell? It stays outside of the cell in the bloodstream. And that is a reason when you prick your finger to check your blood glucose is high because glucose never had the chance to get into the cell to be used as energy. Why? As a result of this fatty buildup inside of your muscle cells, which is interfering with the insulin signaling. So now you ask yourself, what type of diet should I be eating that is void of saturated fats and refined carbohydrates? The answer is a plant-based whole food diet. And like Diana said, plant-based, high in fiber. It's also high in antioxidants, high in water, high in minerals, high in vitamins. And the term whole food implies that those foods are not refined. They have not been stripped from their fiber. They are in their whole intact form, full of fiber. And that is what we need for blood glucose control, the way that Diana just explained for the last 5 minutes. I'm not going to get into that again. But that is why a plant-based whole food diet is perfect for you. It's low in saturated fat, actually is low in their fat content overall, and is void of refined carbohydrates, and is also lower in calories for the same or even higher amount of bulk that you're eating. So it keeps you satiated at a lower amount of calorie consumption. So that is better for weight loss, for body composition. And of course, diet is just not everything. You also need to pair it up with exercise, and we can talk more about that. Mm-hmm. But that is what our program does. It pairs up the power of a plant-based whole food diet and exercise and the mindset modifications that you need to have. It puts everything together. People go through that and they see the fantastic results that they are all seeing in their blood glucose.
Right. So it's not a problem with the body producing enough insulin. It's the problem of insulin not getting to where it needs to go.
Great question. Yes.
Yeah. It gets complicated.
Yeah, it gets complicated. At first, it's definitely that. But after multiple years of having type 2 diabetes, your pancreas is basically overworking, overproducing this insulin for many, many, many years. Then it gets tired. And these beta cells that produce insulin, they die through a process called apoptosis. That is programmed cell death. They literally die out and they stop making insulin. And then insulin production starts declining over time. And that is a huge problem because if you don't have enough insulin, then you're not going to have enough of those keys to open the doors. And that is when people have to end up injecting insulin as a type 2 diabetic.
Yeah, our pancreas doesn't regenerate those beta cells. So if those beta cells die, then that's it. Then your pancreas starts producing insulin at a lower rate, a lower rate, lower rate. And if nothing is done to control your blood sugar levels to control or change your dietary pattern or lifestyle, then you're going to continue to see those glucose levels increase over time.
Mm-hmm. So, and there's no way to reverse that, like cell death. That sounds dramatic, but that once that's done, that's done. Doesn't matter how many beans and cruciferous veggies we're eating and exercise we're getting, the damage is kind of done at that point.
There's nothing out there that regenerates beta cells. And that is why I tell people, the sooner that you act on this, on the reversal of this disease, the better outcomes that you're going to have. Mm-hmm. Act now if you have been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes or pre-diabetes.
But so, there have been, I was just going to say that, like Jose was saying, when fat is deposited in those cells that aren't meant to necessarily contain that fat, including the pancreas, right? So sometimes that fat develops in the pancreatic cells, and there have been studies that show when you do clear some of that fat up, some of those cells who maybe not have been working or producing insulin, once that fat is cleared, then they are able to produce more insulin again. They're kind of awoken again. But in that sense, they haven't died. They've just kind of lost their ability to function as they normally would.
And I want to add on to that to basically give hope to people that have been living with type 2 diabetes for a long time. Don't think that you know, you're doomed and that you're going to have type 2 diabetes forever. What happens when you reverse insulin resistance is that your cells become more sensitive to the insulin that you are producing. So even if you have compromised the production of insulin, the amount that your pancreas is still producing could be enough to completely reverse this condition and not need medications to control your blood glucose. So basically, there's two sides to type 2 diabetes, the insulin production side of things and the insulin sensitivity side of things. What we want is to make your cells very insulin sensitive. So in the case that you're not producing enough insulin, that insulin production is enough to keep your levels in check.
Good. I like that add on. So I have two questions popped into my mind. One is, how many years does it take of somebody being insulin resistant before kind of the pancreas has been like, I can't do this anymore, and you have the beta cells dying? Is there a range of years that takes?
I'd say it depends.
Yeah, it depends on many things. Diana, do you want to have your take on it?
I mean, go for it. You got it.
Yeah. So it's really going to depend on the severity of the insulin resistance, how hard your pancreas has to work to keep your levels under control. And all of that depends on how insulin resistant your cells are. So for some people, they could see a complete burnout of their insulin producing beta cells in 8 years. Some people might take 20 years. Some people might take 30 years. It really depends, because it varies from person to person what is the severity of their insulin resistance.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The other question that popped up was, when the pancreas is burnt out, what secondary health issues are you looking at that point? Because I imagine if the pancreas isn't working as it should, there's going to be other issues stemming from that, apart from diabetes.
Well, By the time that your pancreas is fully burnt out and you're not producing any more insulin, by then you would have seen the ramifications of type 2 diabetes in basically at their full display. Mm-hmm. You would have seen levels of blood glucose that could lead to organ failure. You could see your kidneys failing. You could
see doctors would prescribe you insulin to prevent that from happening. If
absolutely. As I was saying, it's like if you get to that level of complete beta cell burnt out, by then you would have already seen so many symptoms and so many ramifications of uncontrolled type 2 diabetes that you would have been to a doctor. Definitely already. Yeah. And a doctor would have prescribed medications by then and insulin. But in the case that you were not taking your insulin as prescribed or your oral medications as prescribed, then you would have seen definitely some kind of organ failure. And diabetes, high blood glucose affects every single organ of your body. If you think about it, high levels of blood glucose are toxic for your body, and your blood touches every single organ. So as long as toxic blood is touching your organs, everything is getting damaged. Your eyes, your kidneys, your heart, your lungs, your nervous system. And that is a reason why uncontrolled type 2 diabetes, like in the high 400s milligrams per deciliter, is extremely bad for your health. Everything is getting damaged, right? And Diana, you worked at a dialysis center, right?
Oh gosh, it was so sad. I mean, like Jose was saying, uncontrolled diabetes, uncontrolled blood sugar levels is extremely dangerous. And that's why it's so, so important to get blood sugar levels under control. I mean, I worked at a dialysis unit, and that was also another reason why I decided to go into diabetes, because seeing people hooked up to a dialysis machine 3 days a week for 4 hours at a time, because most of the people there is because of type 2 diabetes. Type 2 diabetes and high blood pressure are the leading causes of kidney failure in the United States. Uncontrolled blood sugar levels is the leading cause of adult blindness, of amputations, of people with diabetes are twice as likely to suffer heart attack or stroke, heart complications. I mean, it really goes, there's a lot of complications that can come about it. And that's why it's so, so important to really take control and get and make those changes to your lifestyle.
Yeah. And the sooner the better, because there's stuff you Absolutely. Can do to kind of prevent this from happening in the first place. Mm-hmm. If you haven't, you know, if you're not down this road already. So these are the conversations that you don't want to have with your doctor. It'd be so much easier to adopt a whole food plant-based diet and do some exercise. Yes. So can you talk a little bit about exercise and the effect of exercise and all of this and the role it plays?
Yeah. So if you think about it, exercising basically is contracting and moving your muscles. And the most metabolically active organ in your body when it's activated are your muscles. And metabolically active basically means the organ that burns the most amount of glucose when it's activated. And in other words, when you exercise, when you move your body, when you do physical activity, you are absorbing glucose from the bloodstream and placing it into the muscle cell in order to be used as energy. So people that exercise are burning glucose at higher rates than people that are sedentary. But beyond that, the effects of exercise are also for body composition. If you do resistance training, then you're going to have more muscle than fat. And muscle, again, is more metabolically active. It allows you to burn more glucose. If you exercise, you are going to create a negative caloric balance, which allows you to have a healthy BMI, right? And the healthier BMIs are associated with lower instances of type 2 diabetes.
And BMI, for people who don't know?
It's a body mass index. It's basically a ratio of your height and your weight. And it's a very simplistic way of determining if you are at risk for diseases of your metabolic system, basically. Mm-hmm. And you want to be between, Diana, what is a good BMI, would you say, that is between above underweight, but below overweight?
Normal is between 25 to 29 of BMI.
25 to 29. So that is usually, when you go to the doctor is going to be aiming for you to be around that. If you are above 29, you're going to be considered overweight and at a higher risk of developing these conditions. Exercise helps with that. Now, if we want to get into the physiology a little bit more.
Sorry, I totally said that wrong. Sorry. It's 18 to, I always get confused with this. Let me pull up a calculator. BMI percentages.
Chart. I thought that sounded a little high, but.
I know. Yeah. No, that's the overweight. Sorry. I actually was just dealing with, I was working with a patient. We were going over that, and that's why I said it, because he was in that BMI. But continue, Jose.
Okay, so BMI is not something that we focus on, and we probably haven't seen in a while.
18.5 to 24.9. It was the one.
24.9. Okay, that is a normal BMI. Above 24.9, then you're considered overweight or at a higher risk of metabolic conditions. Now, as I was saying, when it comes to the physiology of exercise and improving your blood glucose, this is a pretty neat mechanism that is happening inside of your muscles. And we have this tiny vesicles inside of our muscle cells called GLUT4 transporters. And when you activate your muscles, this GLUT4 transporters act like little boats that go to the outermost layer of the cell. They pack up glucose from the bloodstream and they bring it into the cell. So it facilitates the diffusion of glucose from the bloodstream and into the cell. The more you exercise, the more that you upregulate the production of this GLUT4 transporters, and the more that you translocate this GLUT4 transporters to the periphery of the cell, which facilitates the diffusion of glucose. That is one of the neat things that our muscles do to improve blood glucose control. That is basically the extent of exercise, but there's two main types that I want to emphasize. Resistance training, that is basically fighting the force of gravity, and that could be body weight training or lifting weights. And there's also cardiovascular training, which that is basically walking, biking, dancing, just moving your body that elevates your heart rate. That is cardiovascular. You need the combination of both in order to have even better blood glucose control.
Okay. The body is so cool.
It's cool, right?
It is so cool. Yeah. It's magical. Amazing. Okay. So let me ask you this. If somebody is tuning in or they stumbled upon this podcast and they are, maybe they just got news that they're type 2 diabetic or they're pre-diabetic and they want to do something about this and they don't want to be on medication and they heard of, you know, maybe there's a way to do this without. I want to hear from both of you. Maybe it's the same piece of advice, maybe it's different. But for somebody who's brand new, and let's say they have not eaten this way, eaten a whole food plant-based diet, so they're brand new, what would you tell them if they're really at the beginning of this journey?
I would tell them to go buy our book, The Type 2 Diabetes
Revolution. Oh, this is a perfect segue.
No, I think this book is just a great intro, exactly like what you said. If someone has no idea where to start, I think it's a really good place to start because we go into what we just talked about into a little more detail so you can understand the mechanisms behind why this approach works so well, and then how to incorporate some of this approach into your lifestyle. And then we find that a lot of people struggle with plant-based recipes, right? They think plant-based eating means a salad, and it's so far from that. We all know here that it's much more than that. And so we wanted to incorporate recipes in our book. So it wasn't just a guide, but also a cookbook. So we have over 100 different recipes here that are all plant-based, high in fiber, low in saturated fat, that can help you start working on reversing the insulin resistance, get your blood sugars under control. I would say grab our brand new upcoming book.
Yeah. Congratulations, by the way, on this book. When show it a little bit close to the camera. And what is the name of it? Okay, Diabetes Revolution. There we go. The type 2 Diabetes Revolution. Yeah. Awesome. Well, that's very exciting. Yay. That's the perfect resource for people then. That's amazing.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I would also tell people that to follow us on Instagram, on TikTok. We're always putting great content, great pieces of information in there. But one main thing that I would like to tell a newly diagnosed type 2 is that there's hope. And that type 2 diabetes is not a life sentence, and that there's this very short passage of our book that encapsulates what I'm trying to say. So I'm just going to read it very quick. Being told that you will have to battle diabetes for the rest of your life can feel overwhelming and frustrating. But what if we told you it didn't have to be this way? We have spent our careers working with a diverse group of people living with type 2 diabetes. And we have found that if you're willing to put in the work, you can achieve a life free of diabetes. So here in this whole book, we tell you what you should be doing. If you apply the knowledge from this book to your lifestyle, you will see better blood glucose control, guaranteed.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it does take some work. right? It does. Absolutely. But if you think about where type 2 diabetes could lead you, like we were talking about before, that very bleak kind of picture, it's mm-hmm. like this is the type of work that is so worth it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I can't, absolutely, yeah. Right? So it's like, yes, it's work, but it's not as hard as managing type 2 diabetes is, I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's our health.
Yeah.
When people join our program, one of the main things that I ask is, what is your why? What's the main reason why you're doing this? I know that you're not doing this just to get better fasting blood glucose. Tell me what is the reason right. behind it. And yeah. that is when they tell me, I want to live longer yeah. to see my grandkids grow up. I want to live longer to enjoy my 70s and 80s with my wife. I want to live longer to see my daughter get married. Those are the big whys that like really like, you know, give me goosebumps when I hear them, because I'm like, wow, like those are powerful reasons that you need to write down on a piece of paper, and you need to like place them in your bathroom mirror, in your kitchen, in your door. So you're constantly reminded about the reason why you're doing this, because at some point it's going to get a little tough. You're going to have mm-hmm. to do the work. But if those reasons are constantly in your face, then your why is just the biggest reason to do this, yeah. right? So mm-hmm. you're going to go ahead and move forward and continue doing it. Yeah, that would be my key piece of advice for okay. somebody that just got type 2 diabetes.
Both very good. I have one more follow-up question before we sort of wrap up here. Mm-hmm. And the traditional thinking, maybe not traditional thinking, but a lot of people who talk about diabetes talk about the need for like eating like very low in carbohydrates. So I'm just wondering, and here we are talking about like how important carbohydrates are, like complex carbohydrates are in this process, but why are people confused about that?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, so diabetes, as we've mentioned, is it's an illness that manifests as a carbohydrate intolerance, right? So although it's a fat buildup in your cells, it manifests as having this intolerance to carbohydrates. So for example, people with diabetes tend to eat a healthy carbohydrate, let's say like a banana, and then they'll see immediately their blood sugar levels spike. And that's not the banana's fault though, it's because of that fat buildup in those cells, mm-hmm. which aren't allowing our cells to respond properly to the insulin that is being produced by our pancreas. So what happens when you eat carbohydrates, a very normal physiological response, you eat a carbohydrate, it's broken down into simple carbs to glucose enters your bloodstream, your pancreas releases a signal. As soon as glucose enters, your pancreas is like, okay, let's send out some insulin, because like Jose mentioned, insulin is going to act like a key, open up the cells, the glucose will go into those cells, right? But if the key is not working and it's not opening up those doors, not opening up the cell, then that glucose, which comes again from the carbohydrates that we eat, is just going to linger in your blood. And oftentimes, if you eat a lot of carbs, what's going to happen is going to cause a glucose spike. A normal glucose spike is completely normal, but it's those very high glucose responses, the high spikes that we do want to avoid. So unfortunately, a lot of people assume, okay, well, if this is causing an immediate spike in my blood sugar levels, this fruit or this healthy carbohydrate, then this must be bad for me. I have to stay away. But that's not, it's not that carbohydrate's fault, right? It's just the response that's happening because of the insulin resistance of the type 2 diabetes. So that's why a lot of people are scared of carbohydrates. But when you do incorporate more of these healthy, complex carbohydrates, you're able to start reversing that insulin resistance. So although you may see a little immediate in like the first few weeks, some people do see higher blood sugar levels after eating more complex carbohydrates. But if you keep sticking with this dietary approach, you start reversing the root cause of what's causing this to happen, then you'll start to see those blood sugars come down beautifully. And that is something we have talked about. We talk about in our book a lot too, because you're right. Like a lot of people do have that fear of all carbohydrates, right? Even the healthy kind. And we do make it a point to have a really healthy carb to fiber ratio for all of our recipes too. So that if you are incorporating more plant-based diets, you're not just doing like a carb, a super carb heavy meal that may be not so favorable for your blood sugar. So what we have done is we've made sure that we have a lot of fiber per grams of carbohydrate. So for example, I'm just opening up the book. I just opened to this. It's a black bean quesadilla with cashew nacho sauce, completely plant-based. Some people may think that might have a ton of carbohydrates, but if you remember, fiber is indigestible, right? So we can kind of counteract some of those carbs with fiber. So we make sure all of our recipes have a lot of fiber in them. So this ratio is 3 to 1. So for every 3 grams of carbohydrates, you're getting at least 1 gram of fiber. So you can rest assured that the recipes in this book are not going to be too many carbs that where you're going to see those crazy blood sugar spikes while you work on reversing the root cause of what's going on. Mm-hmm. So we've definitely thought of that in the book, and we explain it all in more detail as well.
Yeah. Great.
I agree with that. Low carb diets are an oversimplistic way of thinking about this disease. It's like carbohydrates spike me up, hence I'm just going to remove them from my diet. That just tells us that people are not understanding what is a true cause of insulin resistance.
Right.
Like Diana just explained.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's misplaced.
It is. Yeah. It is.
Yes. The poor rice and beans are. It's not the rice and beans.
It's not the rice and beans. It's not the bananas. It's not the apples. It's not the mangoes. We know that.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, thank you for explaining that in such a way that's very easy to understand to somebody who's not, doing this for a living. Is there anything else that you want to add or anything else that you would like people to know before we close?
Real quick. The book is being released on November 7th. That is the publication date. Mm-hmm. It's going to be available in all major bookstores around the U.S. And you can also buy it internationally as well, right, Diana?
Yep.
Yeah, that's great. So we're super excited for that. We're going to be doing a lot of like cooking shows. So make sure to follow us on social media.
Yeah, you guys do a lot of great, great content, very helpful content on your socials.
Thank you. Thank you, Molly. And, really appreciate it.
To learn more information about the book, you can just go to the type2diabetesrevolution.com.
The type2diabetesrevolution.com. And then your website again is?
ReversingT2D.com.
ReversingT2D.com. And you have a great blog and a lot of resources on your website as well, and links to your social. So everybody should go check you out. And thank you for doing the good work in the world that you both are doing. Aww. We're so lucky to have you doing this work.
Thank you, Molly. Really appreciate it. Thank you for having us today.
Yeah. Great chatting with you. And congratulations again about the book. That's huge.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening.
Thank you.
If you enjoy this podcast, you are going to love Plant Fueled Life, our monthly membership where we help you eat more plants and celebrate that beautiful human imperfection that we all have. You can try it out for free for 10 days by going to the show notes of this episode and clicking on free trial. You can also go to our website, cleanfooddirtygirl.com, and clicking on the banner at the top of the website, click on start free trial, and that'll get you there too. Also, if you enjoyed this episode or if you enjoy this podcast, will you do me a solid and rate and review it so that other people can find it as well? Okay, thanks so much.